Good morning, everyone. And once again, the wind is howling and the sea is roaring. I thought it's another opportunity just to come indoors. So welcome to our home. Last week, we watched as God created the whole universe and everything in it. We also watched him create his greatest creation, which was men and women. And he gave them his own image. But we also watched Adam and Eve, our first mom and dad, as they began following their self-focus and self-desires, and they fell from God's favor, and they were evicted from the garden. They had fallen into the focus of self-focus rather than God-focus, and eventually this led to death. Unfortunately, shortly thereafter, we watched as murder entered the first family, and we could see just how far that first sin had taken humanity into a plunge from the garden to the gutter. Humanity had corrupted itself, and it got so bad to where they could only think of evil continually, and that's personal self-gratification rather than any interest in the things of God. God looked at the mess that sin had caused, and he had decided to end the whole thing. But remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his family, along with every species of the animals, got into God's lifeboat, and a worldwide flood ravaged the place and totally obliterated the world. No one or nothing survived but those on the ark. Now, God wants to start again with his new first family. But soon after God restored his agreement or his covenant with mankind, Noah plants a vineyard, and guess what? He gets drunk and he lays naked in his tent. Well, the new first family just showed how far that original sin had taken mankind from God's desires. If God could be frustrated, I'm sure he can be, he would have been totally frustrated with his wonderful creation. But he had a plan. And that plan is going to give men and women another shot at restoration. So he calls one man, and his name was Abram. And we'll look at the rest of Abram's story and the rest of God's plan through the Bible. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've allowed us to have. Father, I pray you'd use this as we survey the Bible, as we follow your plan in moving mankind from the fall back to complete and total restoration. Father, help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin his plan of restoration, God reaches into a pagan culture and calls one man to go and to leave his native country and go off into the wilderness. Abram agreed, and he packed up his stuff and takes off. And you know, God didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, go. He entered the wilderness with nothing but a promise. Well, I want you to think about something. Early on, we see where trusting God is essential for following him. I mean, that's complete trust to go when you don't even know where you're going. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So believing God is essential to be in the absolute center of God's will. So Abraham gets settled in his new land, and God makes a covenant or a promise with Abram. And when he makes that agreement, he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And God's plan is to start a new nation that he would call his chosen people, and that's the Jews. Surely this chosen group of people would follow God. Well, the family grows and they end up in the most powerful nation on earth under the protection of the Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. But that protection turns to slavery, and the Jews are suppressed for over 400 years until God speaks to another man whose name is Moses. And Moses is charged with setting the Hebrews free. Well, notice all through this story, God speaks to one person to do his work. I guess everybody else had turned their backs on God, but God found a person that would trust him. So the hand of God through Moses leads the Hebrews out of Egypt with a magnificent victory over the most powerful nation in the world. Surely the Jews, the Hebrews, would believe and follow God. God leads them to the holy Mount Sinai, and he wants to make a point with the Hebrews. So he tells the Hebrews, don't touch the mountain. Back up from it. And to clean up your lives. And then, and only then, would he show up. So after the Hebrews take 3 days to get themselves clean, God finally arrives. And he arrives on the mountain with lightning and the rumble of thunder and clouds and smoke and a blast of the trumpet shake the Hebrews to the core, and they tell Moses, hey, Moses, you talk to God. He'll kill us. Why did God make such a scene on the mountain? Well, I believe he wanted the Hebrews to know that he meant business, and they needed to listen to what he had to say. As the story goes, through Moses, God gave the Hebrew law to his chosen people. And finally, if they will follow the law of God that God gave, they will once again be able to meet with God. But only one person can do that, and that's the high priest. He's the only one that can come into the presence of God. But first, he had to wash his clothes, and then he had to cleanse himself, and he had to have in his hands the blood of a spotless lamb to pay for his own sins and the sins of the people, and he could only do that one time a year. Why, oh why, did God make it so hard for mankind to come into his presence? Well, I believe that God wanted to reveal to them his holiness and to show the Hebrews just how far their sin had taken them. You see, the first of the family, the sin of the first family destroyed the camaraderie that God had with his creation. And there would be no more walking in the cool of the evening as they did in the Garden of Eden. Well, at least not yet. And then the history of the Jews revealed that no one could keep the law successfully. You see, the sin of mankind had taken them so far. Indeed, something magnificent died when Adam and Eve disobeyed. But then something begins to happen. Some signs start showing up that point towards someone who would change everything. Let's look at some of those signs that point to something amazing that's going to happen. In the book of Genesis, we see where that person that's going to show up will damage the head of the deceiver. Later, we see that something special was going to take place in a town called Bethlehem Ephratah. Then Isaiah tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Who is it that's about to show up? Is it? Let's continue. Then on a lonely, dark night in Bethlehem, the angels show up and tell the shepherds that a baby's going to be born and placed in a manger, and he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then the sky lights up, and it's filled with the heavenly host who sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Who is this baby? Well, the angel called him Jesus, and he said that he would save his people from their sins. Their sins? Does this go all the way back to the beginning? Well, the baby Jesus grows up to amaze the scholars at 12, and then he disappears and shows up again at age 30. And he calls 12 men to follow him, and he proceeds to change the world. During his ministry, he healed so many people that even if the sky could contain their names, it would not be large enough to record everything that Jesus did. So who is this man Jesus? Well, he claimed to be the Son of Man, but he also said, before Abraham was, I am. Then on a magnificent night in front of the disciples, God the Father shows up and tells us who this man is. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Oh, do you remember that law that no one could keep? Well, Jesus, during his life and his death, kept it perfectly. But then Jesus gets arrested and is condemned to die on the Roman cross. But 3 days later, Jesus rises from the dead and he appears to 500 people. And later on, he returns back to heaven, leaving the promise this same Jesus will return in the clouds just like he went up. You may wonder what all of this has to do with the image of God that we talked about earlier. Well, let me show you how it connects, but make sure you follow with me. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, who's lost? I believe every one of us that was affected by the fall of our original mom and dad are lost. We're condemned. If we do nothing, we're condemned. Then he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one, absolutely no one, can come unto the Father except through me. Now get this, no more need to go through a high priest. No more need to keep the Hebrew law to get to God. No more need to go into the Holy of Holies only once a year. Jesus says, he is the way, he is the truth. If we want to go to God, we go through Jesus. The only way back to God is Jesus. And then he says this, for God so loved this, oh, wicked, torn up world, that he gave his only son, so that anyone, that's anyone, if anyone will believe in him, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life? Eternal life? We know that Adam and Eve could have lived forever if they had followed God, but they sinned and lost that opportunity. Could it be that this eternal life will be the possession of all those who now believe in Jesus? I really believe that. Now, speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, follow this. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the exact image of God. It's as if, and I believe he was, Jesus is God in the flesh, or as the Bible said, Emmanuel. Then according to John, when Jesus returns and he shows up in the sky, then we who will see him will be just like him. Me, the way I look right now, I will be like Jesus. And at that moment, the complete image of God will be restored. The fall is over. The curse of sin is removed. And all of creation is returned to what God had intended. Can I say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? And now Jesus is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I guess all we can say is he is. For the last 2 weeks, we have looked at the plan of God throughout the Bible. And now I would like to go back to the beginning, the book of Genesis. And I'd like to look at God, or at least his influence, in every single book of the Bible. And we're going to do that through song. Father, may you be glorified in what we've done on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.